Oh, welcome back, Bippers. What another massive week we've had in fantasy. We haven't actually had any fantasy scores, which is, round zero, opening round. It's a bit shit. We know what happened there. The league just come out and dicked us, because, that's what they do. Honestly, I don't know what they're trying to do with that. I get that the NRL is in Vegas and they're trying to invade their turf. You're trying to do a bit of a stupid marquee. Let's all go to New South Wales and Queensland shenanigans. But, yeah, no football in Melbourne, no football for every team. Just rubbish. But yes, let's move on. So yes, we had round zero. That was fun. We got some interesting notes. We're going to have a look at round zero in this episode and see what fantasy tidbits we can take out. We had injuries to big players in big moments, and that was annoying. Coleman's out ACL for the year. Doc's out ACL for the year. So adjust your draft ranks accordingly if you haven't already drafted. Most people have, and that's all going to break everyone's fantasy teams in Classic, which will be fun. And we also had, speaking of breaking fantasy, that whole break-even scandal, which I don't honestly know what happens. I wasn't really following it, and to be honest, I don't think the impact was particularly much, despite the fact that every man and his dog on Twitter went, "Man, guy's breaking me. I'm a sook. Meh, meh, meh." I don't know. Something to do with that little Poindexter guy that does the stats. What's his name? Pukowski, 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 Jaden, Faden, Baden, Waden. Not Braden. He's the guy that from the Arnie Donna that does a footy podcast. Now that's worth listening to. Give that a whirl. He's funny. Bald-headed people for the win. Anyway, yeah, Pukowski fucked around with the break-evens or something, said that something was broken, and then he said it wasn't, and then the traders jumped in and defended him for some reason, even though he was saying that their system was broken, and then Minimo got in, and fucked if I know. The whole thing was a shit fight. Yeah, no real impact on fantasy from what I can see, unless you're one of those price-changing nutheads, which isn't anyone that listens to BIP, because obviously, if you're on the surface level of attention that we deal with, you're probably not going to care about that. But yeah, fun from a Twitter point of view. So if you want to know what happens, have a look at Jaden's for like 5 seconds and get through his nerdiness. Nerd alert, that guy. Anyway, I could say I'm a nerd alert, but I won't because I'm the coolest. All right, let's rock on and have a look at the football, shall we? So, yes, was it Thursday? Thursday night. The Swans and the D's. Actually, not a terrible game in the end. Tight game for three quarters. I thought the first half, actually, I thought it was all right, but the popular opinion, it was terrible. And the D's did have rubbish kicking 2-8 to halftime, which probably resulted in them losing the game, I would say. Yeah, the second half was much better, and the Swans dominated the fourth quarter and ran away with the win, so good on them. I don't think the Swans will be hugely fantastic this year, but they'll be hard to beat at the SCGs. They always are. Probably better than last year, I guess. But the fantasy situation. So the Brody Grundy role is real. He dominated. He had a lot of points. Let me go and double check his points. That is correct. 245k. Yeah, get him in, Classic. That's very nice. What else do we have? A few mentions. Howes was 74, which is interesting to look at. There's been a bit of chatter on Howes. Goulden was down. And 20 disposals at 69. And at his price with a bye coming up, I really don't think he could. I was big on Goulden during the preseason, but I might have forgotten that he's a bit of a preseason specialist. If you paid a high draft pick, like top five draft pick, you're probably going to be disappointed. Is that going to be the role going forward? Is he going to continue to be shit or just have an off night? We're probably going to need a little bit more data. I like to go with about three rounds before making a call on that. But at the moment, I wouldn't be putting him in my side because I just don't really like what he's doing there. Windsor was fine. He had glimpses of being good. 45. Josh Sakic not delisted. Don't know what's happening there. He got a game. The Demons want to fix that if they're going to win. That's probably one of the reasons they were crap, because they played Josh Sakic and he's an absolute freaking muppet. Jordan was good. 21 disposals per 76. 454k. That's probably about what you're going to get. It's fine. It's not exciting, but I think you could probably stick with it if you've got Jordan on your ground. It's probably fine. Don't expect magic from your mid prices. That's what's going to happen. All right, let's have a look at the next game, which was disappointing. I think we know what happened in the Lions game against the other mob. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I do this to myself as a Lions fan sometimes. Honestly, it was. You see these things coming. You do. You do. Second quarter, we were kicking behinds. You thought, well, it probably doesn't matter. We're 47 points in front, but it's just you really should be putting those sides away at that point. I thought, well, I'm not going to get too upset because 47. We're going to get this done. And then, they start kicking goals and you're just like, this is happening again, isn't it? Surely it's not going to happen again. We're not going to get run over every time. You're not going to be worried. But in the back of your mind, you think, yeah, we get run over a lot. We're probably going to get run over. And then they kick on a goal and a goal and a goal and a goal and think, oh, here we go. You're going to get run over. And then you get run over. And it's like, it's not surprising, but it is. And just a roller coaster of a time when you're a Lions fan. Probably not as much as being like a freaking North fan or something, I get it, but it's just annoying and it happens a lot. But anyway, I won't go on about it. I don't mind the Carlton fans, so I'm not completely shattered about being beaten by Carlton. 50% of Carlton fans I know are good blokes, so yeah, I think that's good on them. They won. Whatever. All right, let's move on. Let's look at the fantasy. Dane Zorko, 105 with 19 disposals. He's going to be a really good draft forward, I think. The worry with some of these Lions players, and a lot of them did well in fantasy, is that with any luck, and I hope the Lions are going to go the chop and change the team up pretty drastically because that second half was diabolical, and I'd want to see heads roll. I really do. So I don't think Dane Zorko will be one of them, but they might shift the magnets around. That's a concern. Josh Dunkley, 104. Yeah, I think if you're rocking Josh Dunkley, you didn't do nothing wrong. Very, very nice score. I actually had a pretty good game, 21 disposals, 82% time on the ground. Tick tick. George Hewitt's an interesting one. 100 and, no, flat 100, 27 disposals, 77% time on the ground. Now the Blues are Walshless, which they will be for a little while, is my understanding, like, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks. Here's 669, so that could be a play, at least until they get a bye, which is, God knows, I honestly don't know what I'm going to do with the byes. It's such a pain in the ass, these byes. I don't know. Don't know, I might just roll with it and just, the byes can eat a big one. Lions 94, yeah, we know he's an accumulator and we know what he's going to do. His job security is always an issue. He gets culled a lot by the coach because he's a bit of a whipping boy. Also tends to not be very influential in games, which you often see him with big scores and games the Lions lose because he doesn't impact the game per se, he just gets the ball. But yeah, if he can stick around and play that role, he could be worth looking at, especially in draft. But I wouldn't be surprised if he got the chop at some point. I hope it's sooner rather than later because I don't really like the guy. Nick Newman does what he does, solid enough score with 82 off 13 disposals and 94% time on ground. 16 disposals and 84. I'm reading the Harry McKay stat line from next. But Harry McKay was also good. I really do think it's going to be a year of the key forward, especially in draft. So, yeah, Harry McKay is one to watch. If you can get him with a late draft pick, he can really punt those forwards. And I quite like that. Neil was down. Cripps was down, Rayner was down, so yeah, well, they're all that kind of 70 to 80%. No, Rayner was probably up on what you'd expect from him, so he's an interesting one, but they're all that 70 to 80% range. Zach Bailey, who offers real potential as a draft forward this year, I think, with an 81. He could also run through the midfield more, especially with Coleman out and them throwing the magnets around, which they will. We didn't touch on that, but yes, Coleman and Doc both did ACLs in this game, which is just a mess. I don't know, maybe the surface at the Gabba hasn't bounced back from being rock hard from being cricket. Maybe that's going to happen more. I hope not. Certainly, I didn't recall the Doc injury, but the Coleman injury was innocuous enough. Season-ending ACL. I thought maybe he'd be out for a couple of weeks after sort of the fission, but that is a mess. Yeah. As for what the Lions do going forward, I don't No, I'm going to have to check out some Lions podcasts and stuff this week. Will they get someone to fill the Coleman role, or is that role there specifically because Coleman can play it and they just close it down and do something else without him? I mean, there's talk something like a Darcy Wilmot could fill that role, but I don't know if he's got what Coleman's got and the ability to play that. Maybe like a Cam Rayner could go there, or a Dane Zorko could come to halfback, but I'd honestly prefer them to just change the team up rather than try and put someone else into that role, which is effectively built for Coleman. It's like a kind of like a Dacos role. Like if Dacos went down, I don't think you'd get someone to try and play the Dacos role. You'd just change up what the team's doing. Personally, I think that role's created for Coleman because he can play it rather than it's just a role that he is filling. But yeah, we'll see what happens there. Yeah, Wilmot was fine. What did he get? 70. So yeah, draft fine, but he's one to watch in terms of that role. McLuggage got a 60 out. Now he can do this. If you're willing to have McLuggage as a point of difference, you've got to expect that he's going to do this sometimes. He can throw up just crap scores. I've been a keeper league holder of McLuggage for a long time, and he can come out with a 150 one week and then a 58 the next week. That's just what McLuggage does. If you're willing to take a punt on McLuggage, you've got to risk him doing that. Yeah, there's probably other things to note in that game, but I don't want to spend too much time on it because it was just disappointing. Kai Loman, oh yeah, he is the sub guy. I wasn't sure if he was going to be the sub guy, but I think he's going to be the sub guy. So if you're rocking him as a rookie, expect him to get 30s. Got a 28 today, not even a 30. So yeah, that's going to happen. Don't be surprised. All right. Let's move on to the next game. The Suns actually had this done all day and won by 39. The Tigers were pretty crap. Very disappointing performance by the Tigers. Are they going to do this all year? Are they going to be rubbish all year? Honestly, yes. Stream big forwards against the Tigers. So Harry McKay, Charlie Kerner this week in a draft. If they're available, you've got to stream them because I think they're going to smash the Tigs. And anyone playing the Tigs week in, week out. Yeah, Ben McKay had a field day this week. Big forwards will do very well. So, yeah, in your drafts, stream forwards, even midfielders against the Tigs, because I think they're going to be poo. And to be quite honest, love to see it. Been waiting a long time for the Tigers to be poo. I'd kind of almost prefer it if Geelong was poo, because I've been waiting longer for Geelong or Sydney to be poo. But more than happy for the Tigers to be poo. Happy to watch that. We'll enjoy it all season. Moving on to the fantasy, Matty Rao, best on ground, absolutely fantastic. 830K, yeah, I think you could take a punt on Matty Rao. Certainly in a draft, maybe as a mid, slightly later mid. Yeah, looking good. 112, 33 disposals, 84% time on ground, just dominated, very big. Liked a lot. Tuukka Miller spells his name with an ER, not a good sign. 110, 28 disposals. Yep, you could do that in classic. High to mid pick in draft, yes, very happy with that. Wheel Powell popped up, got 106 off 28. Don't know what to make of Wheel Powell. Let's just check on Wheel's Powell's value. I doubt his value in classic, but 741K, yeah, you could go there. A sleeper in draft for sure. Jaden Short, 103. We know what he does. We know what his role is. That hasn't changed. 23 disposals. 84% time on ground, 103. Yes, tick. Noah Anderson, 99. Yep, know what he does. Doing it again. Brayden Fiorini, though, 98. Is that a role that's going to continue? Was he out on a wing? Honestly, didn't watch too much of this game. I'm going to say yes, even though I didn't watch it, because you've got to make a call in life. No point sitting on the fence. He's a wing. He's fine. Good late draft fly, I reckon. As for classic, I don't think I would, but if he's cheap and he isn't 639 awkward price, no. All right, next guy, Hopper, 95. Yeah, Richmond are missing some, and their midfield is a mess. It really is. So yeah, I don't trust Hopper. I haven't trusted him in a while. Might be a draft fly. I don't like it at all. Flanders was good, 92. 26 disposals, 77% time on ground. Yeah, it was all right. I think you're happy with Sam Flanders. Forwards are hard to get. Didn't know anything wrong. Conor Bedarek was interesting with an 88. Coming off those dual season injuring ending injuries. Yeah, better than I expected, actually. A real draft sleeper. I have previously baked out people who picked Guderic with high draft values, but it could be good. Certainly one to watch. And from a classic point of view, I believe he is cheap. 504? 504. Guderic. Spell it right. Reminds me of Baldric. Always good from a pun point of view. He has a cunning plan, everyone knows. Yeah, don't mind that. 504. Intriguing price tag, difficult price tag, but possibility, real possibility. Sexton punched out an 80. His role isn't as juicy as people probably thought, but I think it's fine. At that price, it's about what you expect. You're going to pay the Sexton money, which is ton of sex. Always not as expensive as you think. Ba-dum-bum-ching. 382. So yeah, cheap. Cheap sex, not always good sex. Oh man, I'm on fire. Bang. Yes, cheap sex, bad sex. Yeah, you get that from that kind of price. If you paid a high draft pick, maybe you'd be disappointed, but it's still early on the season. We'll see how that goes. A couple of other bits to notice. Witt was down, but he'll be fine. Ben King. Yeah, another year of the big forwards. He's going to be one of those streamy guys, I think. I don't know if I'd. You could pick him late in a draft, but I think he's if he's going to be signaling your waivers and he's going to be playing against guys like Richmond, North Melbourne, West Coast, real streaming option. Don't mind that. Naismith was fine, 71. If you're looking at a backup ruck in a draft or a cheap ruck somewhere, yeah, he was actually not too bad. Anything else to note? Seth Campbell, rookie, came in. 61. If he can keep the spot in his side, he's actually all right. I got him in a keeper draft recently for pick 7002 or whatever it was in the stupid bloody Bev League. So yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind that. The other cheapies, yeah, I don't know. Thompson Dow was crap. He's 72% time of down for his 25. So yeah, if you're looking at him making an impact, he's not gonna. What a shock as a Dow, I know. Well, we'll give him another couple of weeks before we completely throw him in the rubbish, but he's sitting next to the rubbish bin and he's not looking happy. Speaking of people in the rubbish bin, Darcy McPherson. Oh God, what have they done to his role? He was good last year. Fortunately, I did listen to him. He come in and he slapped us in the face with a freaking 8. Admittedly, only from 15% time on the ground must have been the sub, but yeah, yuck. In the bin. Garbage man comes up, picks him up, takes him to the tip, compacts him, throw him in the ocean. Is that what they do with garbage? I doubt it, honestly, this day and age, but you might as well throw him in the ocean. He's useless. Just useless. All right, we had one last game. Where are my stats on that? Yeah, Collingwood. Collingwood were bad. I think they drank their own bathwater. The Giants were just better than them all night. They look quite good, the Giants. Hogan. Hogan, like the look of Hogan. Yeah. Big year of the key forwards again. He's all right in a draft. Don't mind Hogan in a draft at all. Keeper league draft. Good guy. Hogan. Yeah, Mason Cox. He had some run-ins with the Giants in the intro. Talked a lot of shit during the preseason. I like his moxie. As a guy who's willing to fuck around with the media and the opposition, yeah, I like what he's doing. But he played like shit. And if you're gonna do that, you can't play like shit. Fortunately, I don't play football or, talk it up too much smack on the hockey sidelines because I can't back it up with skill either. But just for the best, probably. Yeah, he was rubbish, which was good for us because it means the Cameron Ruck role is real and he is the number one Ruck and he got a lot of points. Scroll up, Miller, scroll up. Darcy Cameron, 131. Yeah, looked really good. 20 disposals, 5 hitouts. Not as many hitouts. Or is it hands? That's a handballs. Read the handballs wrong. 30 hitouts. There you go. 81% time on ground. Dominant. Dominant. Means, yeah, if you're rocking Cox as a backup in a draft league like I am, that's a bad sign. But, yeah, Cox can be there as a backup in case Darcy Cameron which gets injured, which hopefully he never does because I've got him as my main rock in a few draft leagues. Good for Darcy Cameron owners, that one. Lachie Whitfield is also real. 137 points, 33 disposals, 81% time on ground, 570 meters gained. Don't really think the meters gained's relevant, but it looks like a lot. But I could read through the stat line. Clearances won, Handballs, 9 marks, 14 tackles, 1. Tackle more, you spud. Get more points off tackles, you chump. Anyway, he was very good. 885, real premium in defence. Get him in. Sorry, I'm a little distracted. The neighbours are having a real big barney. Yeah, you live next to Bogans, you get free entertainment. It actually goes all right. I don't hate it. But yeah, it is loud out there. And someone's probably going to get beaten up, which could be amusing. Woofed, that is a mess. Yeah, someone called Dave. Wants his money back. Needs to get in the fucking car. Could be some cops here. I hope someone doesn't all burn out on the way out crashing my car. I'd be very upset. I'd be very upset. In the meantime, probably going to get distracted while Dave try and gets his money. Good luck, Dave. My next door neighbor is a tight ass. You'll be getting nothing. Never fix my fence, that guy. Never fix me. Never agrees to fix my fence. The fence is fucked. He won't fix it. Fucking tight ass. Good luck, Dave. You're not getting your money. All right. Where'd we go up to? Whitfield. Whitfield's good. Josh Kelly. Josh Kelly's been very good. Yeah, I've actually been doubtful on Josh Kelly, but I think he's actually going to be a run in a draft league. Yes, in a classic league, probably yes. Tom Green, we know what he can do. 116 points, 30 disposals, 87% time on ground. Tick, tick, tick. Very good. We're probably just going to go through telling you that people we know are good. Yeah, lots of interesting point takers in this game. Nothing surprising. Good players played good. Nick Daicos was good. We know what he can do. Easy number one pick in a draft. Probably one of the best first players picked in a classic league. 111, 34 disposals, 80% time on ground. I'm more surprised by his brother, to be honest. Always like what Josh Daicos can do. I think he's a great late round midfield pick in a single season draft. Yeah, even if you can get him for kind of cheap, which you probably can't in a keeper league, alive what he does. Yeah, again, 111, 28 disposals, 92% on ground. Dave is really trying hard to get his money back. Good stuff, Dave. Give it a go. Sounds like the cops might be arriving. That'll be fun. Probably won't help, Dave. Braden Maynard was good. 99 points, 16 disposals, 82% time on ground. Brent Daniels was good. 96 points. Cogs was a bit down, but he did what Cogs does. 91. Harry Himmelberg, 86. Relevant from a draft perspective. Yeah, high draft defender Harry Himmelberg. We got him as a D2 or D3. Yes. Jesse Hogan, again, like what did, 4 goals, 75, which probably the too many goals in a 75. But yeah, a real draft streamer, Hogan. I think that he does what he does. Daniels, have we spoken about Daniels? I think. Yeah, he could be another draft forward. Don't know if you'd classic him, just like Papley. Papley actually did quite good, but then apparently he injured himself, so that's one to watch. Lipinski, have seen a lot of Lipinski talk recently. 78. His name gets bandied around. Didn't do enough to impress me, to be honest. Briggs got a 65, which is a worry for Briggs because people have been talking him up as a classic proposition. I've also got him as a R1 in a few of my draft leagues, so that's a concern. Don't know what to do about that, but I am worried. Harvey Thomas has been a debutant. He's been talked up in, the rookie perspective for classic and also draft. He got bugger all points. I don't know what his time on ground was, but he has some flashes of looking okay. 82% time on ground for an 18, so that's no good. He'll get better. He'll grow into it. So keeper league, I think he'll be fine. But even a single season, he was out. You probably don't have draft players in single season. I always get told that, but there you go. Lots to learn. Lots to learn. If anyone wants to tell me that, fuck off. You can eat a dick. But there'll be better cash cows out there, so don't Harry Harvey Harvey Thomas Harvey Thomas. Don't Harvey Thomas. Maybe if he's called Harry Thomas, he'd be better. I think Dave's gone home without his money. So bad luck, Dave. Better luck next time. Better luck next time. If you can find my fence money in there, Dave, feel free to chip in. Bad luck, Dave. Real unexpected point of entertainment there on this pod. Should do mid-morning podcast more often. Yes. All right. I was going to look at some of the drafts I did before we jump off because it has been a big week in the drafts. I think I've done three drafts, two single seasons in a keeper league. Actually, two keeper leagues if you count the BEP keeper league, which I From a draft perspective, I kind of don't, because what do we got? 18 teams, 38 man squads, and we only delist to 30. So, yeah, the draft pool, you're drafting 8 rounds of just junk. And really, you probably got the rookies, the new rookies as they come in. So you've got one to 1.5 rounds of those guys, really, probably at the end of the first round, they're not even that relevant anymore. I think I took Cooper Simpson because he's a late flyer, because I've taken him a couple of leagues. I quite like that. Someone delisted Will Hosnelli. Not exactly exciting, but the league is really low on mids, so that will be fine. Otherwise, I took a punt and a couple of forwards. Nothing interesting. Really, yeah, shitly set up league, to be honest. I'm almost at the point where I want to withdraw the BEP naming rights from that league, and it can just be called the Hawk and Nug Angry Man. Something stupid. Hawk and Nug maybe can shorten it to just the Hug League, which is ironic because you spend 2 minutes in that chat group and just the complete opposite of getting a hug. It's like, go there, spend 5 minutes, get 8 virtual punches in the face, and just learn that some of the guys are dicks. No, they're all nice enough, but they're trade wise, smack talk wise, dicks. To the point where you actually go in there and you think, hey, Russ, he's not so bad compared to some of the other guys. I was in a chat group with Hawker on Friday night as the draft went south, as we tried to recommission it because the thing's so fecked it doesn't actually work in the AFL fantasy setup. And Hawker was unhappy. Doesn't mind a bit of rage, Hawker. Funny to watch, though. Funny to watch. Hope you sorted that one out, Hawker. You chump. But yeah, no, a couple of other drafts, including our Fantasy Keeper League draft, which is my home league. I drafted fine. Utilitarian draft, more than an excitement draft. I got guys in the positions I needed to get guys in the positions in, and I got Cooper Simpson and Harvey Thomas, which we spoke about. So Harvey Thomas is probably going to be long term before he's anything, which is fine in a keeper league. Again, not an excitement machine. Really hopeful of Cooper Simpson this weekend. I had shit picks, so. Traded a lot of guys, got a lot of ins this year, so my picks were shit. But my off-season trade period was where I really, really got shit going. So Dunkley and Wines came in, but that's where I sold most of my picks. And I also got rid of Richelieu, but you got to spend money to make money. And honestly, I don't know if he's going to be as good as everyone says. So happy with that. And I got rid of Tom Powell, which I originally wasn't shattered about, but there might be something with Tom Powell. He might be back. I don't know. He could also be never get picked and be delisted. So it's always a risk. So spent money. Tom Powell was sold for Wines, along with a heap of picks. And Dunkley was sold for Richelieu as well, with a pick swap. Then we got Papley for nothing. And we got Andrews for relatively nothing. So I quite liked the Papley pick. The Andrews pick, he's going to be a solid defender. Again, nothing exciting. We'll fill a spot, if not a backup spot. So that's fine. Yeah, draft-wise, big off-season for the haircuts. Oh, not draft-wise. Yeah, but the draft itself was average. Who won the draft? Oh, I don't know. It's hard to say. I did like Crazer's picks. Rookie picks more than senior picks, to be honest. McKercher, Windsor, Ari Schoenmaker. I think he passed the last one. But yeah, that's a good collection of guys. The ruck picks, I don't know about. Your Harley Reid's, that kind of thing. Not sure. Not your Harley Reid's, the other Reid. Ethan Reid. Harley Reid will be fine. Chad's done all right there. I actually didn't mind his draft. Yeah, it's a mixed bag. Really, no one stood out. A couple of guys had good draft picks, but no one had domination draft picks. Someone picked Taron Thomas, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world. And how that doesn't get just more open slander, I do not know. I mean, what are you expecting him to play again? He's got like freaking AVOs against him, and the league has banned him. He will not only will he not play again, we'll probably see him in jail within 6 months. Like, that's got to be close to. I know it's a late draft flyer, but God, if you want to bag out some of my picks and they weren't fantastic, then you have to accept that someone has just pissed away a pick on nothing. And honestly, outside of someone doing on that with a very, very high pick, that's got to be the worst draft pick we've ever seen. So, just silly. I did actually see it in another draft, so you're not alone there. Face, you're not alone, but you are an idiot. So, just because you're in a group of idiots does not make you any smarter. Yes, anyway, we had some other drafts. Let's have a look at the drafts we had. Why not? Why not? Why not? We're in a bit of a sort of a roll. So, not a keeper league. My old mate Nathan Quarrell with the Fluffy Bunnies. Another one of his leagues. We had this last year. It's actually got K's in it. Everyone loves K's. Everyone loves K's. He's, yeah, inoffensive to say the least. Quite like him. He's Nathan's brother-in-law. I don't know. What does that make him? Nathan. Does that make him Nathan's sister's husband, or is his sister Nathan's wife? I suppose there are other possibilities in there which we could entertain, but let's not for the sake of the podcast. Yeah, those guys are brother-in-laws anyway, which is how they have so many drafts together, I guess. Or is it someone else's brother? I don't know. It's a good story, either way. I might have fucked that up, but it's a good story. Yeah, I drafted okay. As in most of my drafts, spent all my money on the mids. Josh Kelly, Tom Liberatore, Humer Klugic, Josh Dacos, Patrick Cripps, really liking that midfield. With the Max Gornruck. Am I looking at the wrong one? Yeah, that's the factor, Fantasy Factory one. Ah, well, we'll run through that. Fantasy Factory we did last night, Sunday night. Yeah, pretty happy with that, actually. I punted forwards because you've got to punt forwards. And I punted defs to some extent. I took a ruck and then immediately five mids. Yeah, and then I punted forwards right last, actually. I took defenders. So Salem, happy with. Lawson, happy with. Himmelberg, happy with. None of them huge names, but it's a solid defensive line. And then you got power, rounding that out with power forwards of Harry McKay and Tom Lynch. Hopefully he comes back this week. We know he can dominate, but it's just how much an injury affects him. Zach Bailey, like we said, he's going to be good. Then on the bench, we have Matty Roberts, Tom Papley, Harris Andrew, and Ned Reeves. So, yeah, I actually liked that last-minute ruck. It was Ned Reeves, or it was... What's his bloody name? The guy from Carlton, Tom De Koning. I think they're more or less the same guy. They're 70s averaging rucks who probably have the number one down. Ned Reeves does. Does Harry McKay, does Tom De Koning? I don't know. Ned Reeves more upside, probably a little bit more job security. So happy with that. That side pretty good. It's not a domination side, but it's a reasonably solid side. We had another few players of note in there. Like we said, the Fluffy Bunnies was in that league as well, so that's Nathan's team. Dossie's Disciples was here. Is that Takes, whatever his name is. Not a bad side, actually, that either. Goulden, Laird, Steele, Treloar, Sam Walsh, he spent money in the mids as well. Got a cheap Walsh. I looked at Walsh, but I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks in a single season. That's a lot. His ruck's crap. Ivan Soldo, he's obviously spent money on mids. Nick Blakely, Mitch Hinds, Ryan Burton, just shit defenders. Zach Fisher, Ben Ainsworth. I don't know about Ainsworth. We did get a 50, so that's not good. I had expected a lot out of him. I've got him in a few leagues myself. Brett Daniels, yeah, we know what he can do as forward line. Adams, injured. Max Holmes, yeah, not bad. Hall and Francis, yeah, he's obviously taken a punt on some mids in the bench, which is what the Bunnies were going to do as well, so don't mind that. Brady Hoff, defence, yeah, about. To be Flossbaum. So that's Carla's side. Carla, Carly, whatever her name is, big Fremantle fan. She seems nice on Twitter. I don't know. It's got a weird like eye thing on her icon. Don't like it. Don't like it. Change your icon. Make it cooler. That's what I've got to say. Matty Rowe, Caleb Sarong, Akers, Hopper, Sanders. Yeah, not a bad midline. Briggs. Meh. Luke Jackson though. She's obviously spent a bit of coin on forwards. Luke Jackson, Dusty Martin, and then Harms. Bleh. Jake Waterman is a backup forward. Blair. Wanganeen Maliira, Jordan Clark, Ed Richards. Yeah, Freo, she's gone. Freo's strong. It's an okay side. I can't remember. Let's have a look at the Bunnies. Nathan Quarrell, what have you done? Jack Viney, yeah, don't mind that as a draft flyer. Wouldn't give him the captaincy as you've done, or vice captaincy. Oh, because you've got Tim English. Tim English in the ruck, yeah, being Mason Wood, Will Satterfield, Jared Lyons, Brad from Freo. You've got punting mids, which is silly. Don't punt mids. You punt everywhere else. Harry Sheasel, Jaden Short, Jaden Hunt. Freaking Jaden backline. Jaden, my eyes, just looking at it. That hasn't worked. That hasn't worked. Jack McRae, Dwayne Zorko, Patrick Lipinski. Well, you've obviously had to punt mids with that kind of forward line and backline. I suppose there's always an option not to punt mids in draft. I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't go with it. Too risky. All your scoring's in the defense and the forwards, which, shit. Tim English is going to have to lift that team over the line. All right, let's take another look at one of my drafts. I'll pop my drafts up because draft season's always fun. Draft season's finished now. No more drafts. But It was fun. It was hectic for a week there, and I did not organize myself well, and I missed the start of this not a keeper league draft and got completely dicked over on my first pick. Meant to pick Gordon. Somehow my thing, bloody browser auto refreshed, and I lost 27 seconds in the 1 minute draft. 1 minute drafts are hectic. Don't do 1 minute drafts. Clayton Oliver over Gordon might not be the worst pick, but yeah, I wanted Gordon, didn't get him. My midfield again here is reasonably strong, but this was a 14 team league and the teams are a bit deeper, so it bottoms out a bit quicker. Oliver, Cogs, Warner, McLuggage, Dacos, Berry, Hunter in the midline, not bad. Although Hunter might have to punt him once the waiver opens. The waiver's the best part of draft. Everyone loves a waiver. Elliot Yeo, Jaden Hunt, Harris Andrews, Kane Farrell, and Estiravakaluga. Yeah, had to punt defense a bit. And again, punted forwards, although I went more kind of key forward strong. Joe Danaher, Ainsworth, Windsor, Cameron. Yeah, no, Windsor might have to put that away too. Charlie Dixon, backup forwards. Brody Myercheck, Devon Robertson. Yeah, I think I'm going to go looking for another power forward. Sam Berry, Mason Cox, Paddy Dow, Jacob Wheaton. Hopefully Wheaton is not too far away. I really like the Wheaton pick, but if he's injured, it's not going to help me out, is it? No. Those are the single season drafts. I thought that was the third one. Oh, yes. There is a third single season draft, which we did ages ago, which isn't popped into the system yet. That was auction. If anyone has an auction draft's really fun. Not a bad bunch of guys in that auction draft either. We did that in late January. Honestly, not a bad way to play. I was saying to Nath the other day, yeah, the players get selected at random and then get thrown at you, and then you can bid at them, which means you don't actually have to think about building a team. Someone just says, "Do you want this guy?" And you say, "Yes." And I did that like 20 times and built a team, which is all right. On hindsight, maybe it wasn't as good as some of the other ones in there, but yeah, midline of Gordon, Libba, Viney, Mason Wood, Nash. Well, I meant Nash. And Big Crips, not Crisp. I accidentally drafted Crisp instead of Crips. In our auto redraft of the BEP League the other day and fucked everything up. So, yeah, sorry about that, everyone, for causing you hours and hours of issues, especially the commissioner. And Hawker was not happy. He's probably still not happy because he's just an anger manger. Sorry, Hawker. You're big chump again. Defense, Lloyd Perryman, Sheasel. Yeah, that was good. Atkins, Boston, Newman, liking that. Forward line of Flanders, Curnow, Lynch, Danaher, and Ainsworth. Yeah, the ruck line's shit, though. I punted rucks. We've got Blixards in the ruck. Although I did have a backup ruck somewhere, but I can't remember what happened to that. Because Blixards going to be a problem. We might have a shot for backup rucks. Atkins, Soldo, Charlie Cameron, Tom Atkins, Howe, Fiorini, and Oscar Allen. Who Oscar Allen I really like as a puck forward draft pick. That squad's pretty good. Oh, Soldo, that was my backup ruck. You're happy with that? Happy with that? Hopefully, whoever's commissioning that can get off their ass and put them in, because that was pretty good. Yeah, not a bad one. Not a bad one. Let's look at the. While we're just rolling through drafts, let's look at the BEP League. When I say look at the BEP League, I mean look at my team in the BEP League, because I'm not running through everyone's team. They get stuffed. All right, let me bring that up. All right, here we go. Yeah, like I said, the draft was pretty crappy. I went Cooper Simpson, Will Hoskin, Elliott. Yeah, tick tick. Cooper Stevens. Man, Cooper Stevens. Jack Bartell. He recently got added to Collingwood's list. Again, this dies in the ass real quickly, this draft. You never know with Jack Bartell. Gary Rowan, apparently he's injured again, not going to be of any use. Quilton Markle is injured, probably not going to be of any use. But I need forwards. Ballas, yeah, a bit of a keeper cull fuck up that one, had to get him back. Less on that said, the better. And Seth Campbell, which was good. Yeah, he's nice. Got 50 million defenders. Andrews, Guthrie, Wagner, Himmelberg, Corr, Farrell, Young, other Gardner, Baldwin, Ambrosio, Radiglia, and yeah, that's the defensive line. Pretty good, got lots. The mids are real skinny. Got some good mids, but it tails off real fast. McRae, Caldwell, Wood, Treloar, Crisp, not Crips. Crisp. I don't know if that was me being dyslexic. Dyslexic. I can't even say that word. Or just an autocorrect issue, but it fucked everyone up. Erasmus, Cogs, Greenwood. Greenwood's a spud. He's not going to be very useful. Forward line of Treacy, Curnow, Fogarty, McStay. Oh, he's dead. That's going to be useful. Lynch, Carmichael, Sexton, Hipwood. Yeah, short a couple of forwards. And then we've got Darcy Cameron and Lachie McAndrew. Always been short rucks. Lachie McAndrew has not done what I thought he would. So pretty much just Cameron. I need to find a backup rock somewhere, and someone's going to rort me in trades. Well, someone has already tried to rort me in trades. That's Nug, because he rorts everyone in trades. Despite the fact I sold him Cox last year for nothing, I tried to buy him back at a ridiculously inflated price, which I wasn't having a bar of. And Nug's like, but he's a rock. Might be a rock, but he's still crappy. He's not worth three midfielders and a freaking forward. Nug, I don't know how he rorts the league, but he rorts the league. I'm just assuming that everyone in this league is dumb. And Nug takes advantage with them. Like, some of them probably have an IQ of about a 6. Oh, how do you play fantasy and be so stupid? I don't know. I don't know. It's the eternal question, isn't it? But Keeper League does seem to attract people with low IQs. There is a proven history of that, and it won't stop. It won't stop. I guess, you know, do you want to punish yourself with inane chat groups and shit players the next 50 years? I don't know. These are keeper leagues, so they're set up for life. That's the other thing I don't get. What the fuck happens when someone dies? Do you just, like, we have to, like, just hand it on to someone else and be like, oh. Like, people pick up other people's leagues when they get out or they've done something silly or whatever. So I suppose that's the same as just someone dying. Do you put, like, you put your league in the will to your kids? Do they want to play? I don't know. I don't think my son would be too interested in, you know, picking up a 50-year-old bloody league when he's 40 or whatever it is, when I fall off the mortal coil. Yeah, I think that's a really ill-thought-out thing. You can't just say something's going to be forever and not have, like, a death contingency plan. Oh, Hef, you really missed the boat on that one, didn't you? And that is it. We talked about all the drafts. So, yeah, on that super happy lack of death planning point, we'll have a lack of death planning on this podcast. Kill it. Peace out, guys. See you. Bye.